dreaming and waking up. And of course, it's so difficult to accept this material world and our perception of it, especially our perception of who we are. So difficult to accept it as a dream, because this really feels like me. When a mosquito bites my body, or this or that, or I catch a cold, I feel like I'm sick. Very, very, very difficult. And then on the other hand, we hear about Krishna, a boy, very, very beautiful, with a peacock feather upon his head. And although we may be attracted to this wonderful person, but still, he tends to seem so far away. And Vrindavan, the spiritual world, seems so far away at times. At least I'll be speaking for myself. But there is a process for reversing that. There is a process. Yes, look through there, and there's a particular song. This is one of the first songs.
You want to distribute that?
Not all of them, but just I shall reveal the song in a moment. This is one of the first songs that Srila Prabhupada taught the devotees. The first time I heard of him singing it was in New Vrindavan in 1968. Listen, and then we shall read along in a moment. We won't hear the whole thing. Don't hand it out quite yet, please. See if you can recognize what it is. Let's see. Interesting harmonium playing by Srila Prabhupada too. Can you hear? Yeah? Sleeping souls! Jeev Jago! Jeev Jago! Gaura Chandra is speaking this. Wake up! You have slept so long. in the lap of the witch Maya. Okay, hand out the sheet now. Notice that Prabhupada, in the words that you'll see here, Prabhupada actually added a word in the song, and it's called an akar, when you add something. Kota nidra yaya tumi, he added. Tumi is a very, it's in Bengali, there's a respectful way of speaking, which would be more apna. And then, tumi is like one speaks to one's children more. So very affectionately, or the Lord is speaking, wake up, sleeping souls. Wake up, sleeping souls, Lord Gauranga calls. You have slept so long in the lap of the witch Maya. You came into this world saying, "Oh my Lord, I will certainly worship you." But having forgotten this promise, you remain in great ignorance. Then Mahaprabhu speaking, "I have descended to this world just to reclaim you. Other than myself, who else is your true friend? I have brought the medicine for destroying the illusion of Maya. Now, beg for this Harinam Mahamantra and take it. The life-giving medicine." There's a tendency, of course, to not take the chanting of Hare Krishna as if it's life-saving. There's another song where Bhaktivinod Thakur says, "Namasraya jat kori jatana tumi," that you take shelter of the holy name. Namasrai, take shelter of the holy name. Not just chant Hare Krishna, but take shelter of Krishna. Krishna through his names as you chant. Just like medicine that is going to save a person who has a dread disease, a deadly disease. How quickly and tightly he would hold on to that medicine. It becomes his shelter. So similarly, Mahaprabhu is saying, "I've brought this oshad. Ena chio shadi maya nisa baro lage. I've brought the medicine for destroying the illusion of maya. Now beg for this Harinam Mahamantra and take it. Beg for it and take it. Take it and hold tightly to it. Let the chanting of Krishna's names become our shelter." And then Bhaktivinod Thakur concludes the song by saying, "Bhaktivinod fell at the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga, and after begging for the holy name, he indeed received the Mahamantra. He indeed received the medicine." Now, this chanting is so wonderful. Actually, here is what Prabhupada says, not about the chanting, but more about the dream. First we will hear more about the dream, and then hear more about the way to awaken from the dream. This is a morning walk conversation in Los Angeles, 1973. Yadubara says to Prabhupada, "At the time of sleeping, Srila Prabhupada, there is a subtle reality that the subtle body enters into." He was asking that as a question. Prabhupada, "Yes, reality means as you take this awakening vision as reality. Similarly, the dream vision is also real." So what is Prabhupada doing there? He's equating the reality of the dream when I'm being eaten by a tiger with this world and our dealings in this world. And then Prabhupada says, "Nothing, none of them are reality.
They are temporary. Yadobara. But that subtle reality is just as real as this gross reality. Yes, they are equally as real, which means equally as temporary, which means equally as illusory. Yes, they will not stay. This reality that we consider reality, this illusion, this temporariness that we consider reality, it will not stay. Hari Sori says, it is all a dreamlike existence. Prabhupada said, yes, simply a long-duration dream. Do you think this skyscraper building will stay? Nothing will stay. It may stay for 500 years or 5,000 years, but it is not permanent. Anything you take, the trees, this land, nothing. Even this ocean, they were walking by the Pacific Ocean. You know, there was one conversation where Prabhupada was walking by the Pacific Ocean and he asked the devotees, I think it was in your days in San Francisco, perhaps. He said, do you know why it is peaceful? Because Pacific means peaceful. Why is it peaceful? Do you remember that one? And Prabhupada said, because it is deep. The waves, they're on the surface only. Because it is deep, it remains peaceful. I find myself being buffered around by the winds and the tides of Maya. This is the answer to that. Depth. Depth in Krishna consciousness. Even this ocean is temporary. Bhutva, bhutva, pralayate. It appears again and again disappears. That's all. Everything. The material world means that. Bhutva, bhutva, pralayate. No wonder there's so much anxiety in the material world. We're trying to hold on to things that it is impossible to hold on to. The spirit soul is tiny, the tasta shakti, and it needs a shelter. It needs a shelter. And when we try to seek shelter on this side, on the Maya side, we're trying to hold on to things that are always shifting and changing. But we have to go to this side, to the internal energy side, to the Krishna side, and hold on tightly and become very deep on that side. What else can we do? Prabhupada continues. Sometimes manifested, sometimes not manifested. This town is manifested. And one big wave of sea, that town was Los Angeles, and it will be non-manifested immediately. Yadobara. So that subtle reality is existing side by side with this gross reality. Prabhupada. Reality is in the spiritual world. This is imitation reality. Real reality is in the spiritual world, a big dream, that is all. Material existence means a big dream. How long you'll dream? So long you're in this body, and as long as the body is finished, your dream is finished. Your nation, your society, your friends, your money, your bank, everything finished. Is that not a dream? Then, after that dream is over, then dream another. You become cats and dogs or demigods. You dream in a different way. You are now dreaming as American. Next life, you may dream something else. Very difficult to wake up from this dream because the witch of Maya is very, very, very powerful and her spell is very enticing. That spell begins. What is it that puts us under the control of Maya? This is actually explained by Kapila Dev. It is not actually in proximity. It is not actually being near the material world. No. But there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita that explains exactly why we come under the spell of Maya. Maharaj, Haribol, are you ready? Almost ready.
I'm ready to wake up.
That you're already so awakened. Alive and lively. We just want to make it easy for you to, if wherever you want to sit. So Kapila Muni explains in the Bhagavad Gita, explains Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkti Prakriti Janiha, that here we are, Krishna's servants, but we're trying to think of ourselves as Krishna, as Purusha, situated in the material energy, and trying to enjoy. And we'll explain exactly how we get caught by Maya, if Krishna allows, tomorrow. But it is this tendency to enjoy. That is the root of the problem. Krishna bule se jeevan adi bahimu. The turning the back on Krishna. Wanting to be Krishna. Acting as if we were the center. But that is exactly what has to be turned around. And this medicine of chanting Hare Krishna and other medicines, basically the process of Krishna consciousness, is what changes this at the root. No, I don't want to be the center anymore. No, that concept has brought me so much misery. Everyone, practically speaking, above the age of 5 years old, understands this, has enough experience in the material world to perceive that this attempt to view the material world to enjoy just simply brings misery, frustration. The happiness is only in the anticipation of what's going to happen but never actually occurs. The plan making and getting people envious of us. This is the materialist happiness. It's not actually theirs. There is no substance. One cannot enjoy the dream. I used to have this experience many times when I'd just be waking up from a dream and suddenly I'd see some money on the ground. And then I'd go down to pick it up and I'd see some more money. Has anyone ever had similar dreams? Will anyone admit to it? There's more money. And then the more I try to pick up, I see more money there. But I'm waking up. I'm waking up, and I don't want to wake up because I want to gather all the money. But it's a dream. And even if I put bags and bags of dream money in my dream bank account, what good does it actually do me? Nothing. It can't bring anything in, to me, the person. It's a dream. So this dream, the heart of the dream, is the spirit of I am the enjoyer. Ishwaraham aham bhogi. I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. And this, as that verse in the Bhagavad Gita explains, this is the demonic mentality in opposition to Krishna. So when we take initiation, we get a name. And that name, there may be so many different names, but there is one thing common with that in all the names of devotees. It is Dasa, Dasi. So this is the beginning. Initiation means the beginning of our real life, moving towards waking up. Moving from the dream reality to actual reality. So initiation, the body no longer becomes the source of great pleasure, and I will squeeze pleasure from the material world from the body. But no, the body is decorated with tilak. This is a temple where Krishna lives. It is meant for Krishna's service. And neck beads. Neck beads, Prabhupada told me at my initiation, he said this was a dog collar. Usually Prabhupada didn't have very kind words to say about dogs, but he said that a dog has one good quality, it's loyalty to his master. Very important instruction Prabhupada gave me. Dog collar. no longer a street dog, having a master. So this is what Krishna consciousness means. No longer am I the enjoyer of the material world, but I am Krishna's servant. I want to awaken. So here's some other quotations from Srila Prabhupada about the process of awakening, the solution to this. This is from the Krishna book. The Lord appears in different complete eternal forms of incarnations. The conditioned soul has immense opportunity to hear about the transcendental activities of the Lord in these different incarnations. Yes. Thank you. This isn't the second quotation. The second of the quotations. The Lord appears in different complete eternal forms of incarnations. The conditioned soul has immense opportunity to hear about the transcendental activities of the Lord in these different incarnations. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Janma Karma Chame Dibyam. The pastimes and activities of the Lord are not material. They are beyond the material conception. And the conditioned soul can benefit by hearing such uncommon activities. Why is that? How does it actually benefit us to hear? Prabhupada explains, this is from Krishna Book, Chapter 7. Hearing is an opportunity to associate with the Lord. To hear his activities is to evolve in the transcendental nature simply by hearing. The conditioned soul has a natural aptitude to hear something about other conditioned souls in the form of fiction, drama, and novel. That inclination to hear something about others may be utilized in hearing the pastimes of the Lord. Then one can immediately evolve to his transcendental nature. What word is really striking in that sentence? Huh? Evolve. Okay, that's a good one. Wasn't the one I was thinking of, though.
Immediately?
Yeah, the one immediately hits me. Immediately. If one is hearing from a bona fide source, and one is a bona fide student, one's consciousness is pure, one can actually associate with Krishna just by hearing about his pastimes. Krishna's pastimes are not only beautiful, but they are also very pleasing to the mind. If someone takes advantage of hearing the pastimes of the Lord, the material contamination of dust accumulated in the heart due to long association with material nature can be immediately cleansed. Lord Chaitanya also instructed that simply by hearing the transcendental name of Lord Krishna, one can cleanse the heart of all material contamination. What is the contamination? The contamination is based, the initial contamination is false ego, a false sense of who I am. And everything else is based on that. And especially the false ego evolves into thinking myself the body. This is the great intoxication, the great contamination, the great covering. And false ego fills us with that desire, I want to enjoy. And when we can't, when the material world doesn't fully cooperate with us, we become an anxiety. No wonder there's so much anxiety in me and in the world. As long as I have this tendency to enjoy, the only way to not be in anxiety is to be in the controller of everything. So therefore, that verse of demonic mentality, Ishwaraham, it starts, I am the controller and therefore a humbogi, because only the controller can actually enjoy. Everyone else trying to be the enjoyer just simply creates anxiety for himself because he can't control circumstances. No wonder there's so much anxiety in this Kali Yuga world. Because everyone's tendency to want to enjoy has just increased. Everyone's desire to be the center of existence has just increased. But here is the medicine. The holy names and hearing, as Prabhupada is explaining here, Krishna's pastimes that are not only beautiful, but, anyone remember? Pleasing to the mind. Pleasing to the mind because Krishna is so sweet and all attractive. And as we get, as our mind becomes pleased, hearing about Krishna, and we become attracted to him. And we see, we hear about the residents of Vrindavan, we hear about all his different incarnations and how wonderful he is, how powerful he is. And gradually, the taste of what it is to become a servant of Krishna, a lover of Krishna, this comes to the heart. And that should be cultivated very, very intensely. Service and this cultivation of the serving mood. How wonderful. And again, here in Vrindavan, right so close to Giriraj, who is Haridasa Varjo, the greatest of servants, it's so much easier to actually gain a taste, and it doesn't even take very much, one little drop of it happening to any person at one time guarantees him to go back to Godhead at some point to be with Krishna. That taste is never lost. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that taste, that ruchi, is the bhakti lata bij, the seed of devotion. And that seed, if it's watered, ihan mali nitya sechi shravanadi jal, Mahaprabhu says, that seed has to be watered, sprinkled, nitya sechi, regularly, with the water of hearing and chanting about Krishna. There are different processes for self-realization, Prabhupada continues here in the Krishna book. But this process of devotional service, of which hearing is the most important function, when adopted by any conditioned soul, will automatically cleanse him of the material contamination. Automatically. That means that even if we don't do well in the hearing process, it will work. And the symptom of our purification is that our desire, our taste is increasing. On one side, our desire and taste is increasing, and on the other side, the exploitative side, our desire and taste is decreasing. And automatically cleanse him of the material contamination and enable him to realize his real constitutional position. This is the process of awakening. Conditional life is due to this contamination only, and it, as soon as it is cleared off, the naturally the dormant function of the living entity rendering service to the Lord awakens. There are so many wonderful quotations. Perhaps every day we'll read several of them. I'll read one more, the first one. Very, very short one. Very short one. But very important one. While Nanda Maharaj was returning home, this is right before Putana, he considered Vasudeva's warning that there might be some disturbance in Gokul. Certainly the advice was friendly and not false. So Nanda thought, there is some truth in it. Therefore, out of fear, he began to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is quite natural for a devotee in danger to think of Krishna because he has no other shelter. Just the presence of cows is so soothing to the heart. Especially, of course, here. Look at this little, the two calves coming up from, oh, can't figure out how to get back in. Look at this little one. So innocent. And Krishna loved the cows so much, so much. I hope that we'll be able to hear some of Krishna's dealings with the cows and the boys. This is the real life of the living entity, of every soul, to be with Krishna, to be in that Vaikuntha, anxiety-free atmosphere. Again, why is there no anxiety? Because no one in Goloka Vrindavan is thinking himself the Lord. Everyone and everything is simply centered around pleasing Krishna. Sometimes I think that, yes, I want to be in Goloka Vrindavan. Sometimes I'll put an imitative stance in there. I'm an advanced devotee. Why doesn't Krishna be merciful to me and bring me there? But he can't. He can in one sense, of course. But until I give up this tendency, this competitive tendency with Krishna, I can't be there. And this becomes really clear when one reads about Krishna in Vrindavan. Because everyone there is simply in love with Krishna. There is no thought in any entity's mind. And everything there is an entity, from the grass to the boys, to the trees, to the cowherd girls, to the mothers, to the cows, to the buffaloes, to the deer, to the birds. Everything is simply cooperating. Everyone has one desire. Oh, Krishna, how could I make you happy? How can I bring you pleasure? This is the spiritual world. Therefore, we have to give up everything on this side to get everything on that side. And as we give up on this side, we become attracted more and more to this side. And as we become attracted more and more to this side, we give up more and more on this side because we see it for what it is. It's tasteless. It's like ashes. And therefore, Krishna so kindly, although I don't usually think of it like this when it's happening to me, but he gives us so many times in our life the sweet taste of ashes. We're trying to enjoy something, and we simply are eating ashes. And the very determined, materially conditioned soul, he thinks, oh, because I did this wrong, I got ashes. But next time, I will control that and move that and knock this one over the head and get more money so I have more power. And then the dream is, only if this person didn't do this to me. Just dreaming on and on. And on and on, only if, why not, I can do it. But all we eat is ashes. It may appear like one thing, but in the end it all tastes like ashes. So when someone is wise, he turns to God, or first he just says, help me, help me. And Krishna hears that. And if the soul is fortunate, he'll send. By Krishna's arrangement, he'll have that soul contact, if he's punya, if he's fortunate enough, bhakti punya, he'll have that soul who's crying out for help. There's songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Sharanagati that describe this very, very sweetly. And there's one song, I won't be able to do it justice really, but that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said he was describing his own experience of the suffering being tossed in the waves of the material existence, and then one soul comes to him, one exalted soul comes to him and says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to save suffering souls like you, and he has opened up a marketplace of the holy name. You go to him and take shelter of him. I didn't do it justice, but it is worthy. So the more, so that kicking, that ashes taste is Krishna's mercy. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjalevapmakripavapakam. Prabhupada once said this was the secret. If we can just accept the kicks of Maya as kicking us towards this direction, any last tendencies we may have, any lingering fragrance of the desire to be the enjoyer, kicking it, kicking it, kicking it, until at last, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, now I come to you begging for the holy names. I've brought this medicine. Bhaktivinoda fell at the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. And after begging, I need this medicine, he indeed received that Mahamantra. And he took it and held it to his heart and never let go of it. And Prabhupada has said so many times, this is the actual cure. It has to be constant. The chanting, the remembrance, the serving mood, it must be constant. When it's not constant, we're on this side. As soon as we want to be the Lord, the Master, we're on this side. And then kick, 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 we forget, and then falling at the feet. Oh, how foolish am I? I've done it again and again and again. There's one, I would like to play something that Prabhupada, part of a lecture that Prabhupada gave. It was a lecture, but amazingly enough, it wasn't a lecture to anyone. It was a lecture to a tape recorder. And it became the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita as it is. I'd like to play a part of Prabhupada speaking here, where he talks about this cure very strongly. Could you hand out the sheet so everyone could see it? It's from Srila Prabhupada's introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. We're very fortunate to have Prabhupada's words here, so we can hear him and read along. Then I'm going to jump ahead a little bit to the next part, and then when the sheets return, we will hear that, if Krishna allows. I've learned somehow or another, I've picked up this habit of saying, if Krishna allows, before I say anything that's going to happen in the future, because one really doesn't know. This presentation that I would like to be making as part of my contribution to our stay at Govardhan is... first is speaking about the dream and reminding myself and everyone the nature of the material world and also the nature of the spiritual world, and hearing much from Prabhupada on the process, on the dreamlike material existence and also the process of waking up. That's one side. And on the other side is... something that really has been a benediction for me, and that is hearing directly about Krishna. It's rare that it happens that one can sometimes note, and it's a fortunate rareness, an event that makes a very tangible shift in one's life. And one happened to me fairly recently, and it had to do with Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja just this year. I have a habit, probably a good habit, of each morning on Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja day, I write an offering to him. And I do that. And I try to make it as honest as I possibly can and try to understand my relationship with Prabhupada more deeply. But on this last Vyasa Puja day, I couldn't think of anything to write at all. And only one word came to my mind, and that was hopeless. And that is exactly what I was feeling, just simply hopeless. And how many times can I write hopeless, 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 and then... So I wasn't sure how to deal with that. But what I did is I wanted to hear what Prabhupada said about hopelessness. So I looked in the folio, I typed in the word hopeless, and there were many, many quotations that came up. And that actually became my Vyasa Puja offering. I picked 9 of them, and like one will take a palm full of Ganges water and offer it to the Ganges, I offered these 9 quotations to Srila Prabhupada of his own words. But one of them, which I will read right now, actually shifted me. And it was something, and I've read the Krishna book many, many, many times, especially in the days when it first came out, but I didn't remember this at all. And this quotation that Prabhupada sent me at that time is from the final chapter of the Krishna book, the 90th chapter. This is what Prabhupada said. Following in the footsteps of Srila Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami, and all the acharyas in disciplic succession, the whole population of the world should glorify Lord Krishna. And for their best interest, they should take to this Krishna consciousness movement. The process is easy and helpful. It is simply to chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya has therefore recommended that one be callous to the material ups and downs. Material life is temporary, and so the ups and downs of life may come and go. When they come, one should be as tolerant as a tree, and as humble and meek as the straw in the street. But certainly he must engage himself in Krishna consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Prabhupada continues. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the Supersoul of all living entities, out of his causeless mercy comes down and manifests his different transcendental pastimes and different incarnations. Hearing the attractive pastimes of Lord Krishna's different incarnations, is a chance for liberation for the conditioned soul. And the most fascinating and pleasing activities of Lord Krishna himself are still more attractive, because Lord Krishna personally is all attractive. Following in the holy footsteps of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, we have tried to present this book, Krishna, for being read and heard by the conditioned souls of this age. By hearing the pastimes of Lord Krishna, one is sure and certain to get salvation and be transferred back home, back to Godhead. Sure and certain. It is stated by Sukadeva Goswami that as we hear the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, we gradually cut the knots of material contamination. Therefore, regardless of what one is, if one wants the association of Lord Krishna in the transcendental kingdom of God for eternity and blissful existence, one must hear about the pastimes of Lord Krishna and chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Last paragraph in this. The transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, are so powerful that simply by hearing, reading, and memorizing this book, Krishna, one is sure to be transferred to the spiritual world, which is ordinarily very difficult to achieve. The description of the pastimes of Lord Krishna is so attractive that it automatically gives us an impetus to study repeatedly. And the more we study the pastimes of the Lord, the more we become attached to Him. That very attachment to Krishna makes one eligible to be transferred to his abode, Goloka Vrindavan. Therein is the process of Krishna consciousness. We hear, but then we don't forget. And the way to not forget is to hear and hear, or study it, or try to become, the word that keeps coming to my mind is absorbed. We have to become absorbed and attached to Krishna. And that, as Prabhupada says here, by doing this repeatedly, that very attachment to Krishna makes one eligible to be transferred to his abode, Goloka Vrindavan. This is the Krishna consciousness movement. We want to become absorbed in and attached to Krishna. It wasn't in this part, but it was somewhere. This is the way to remove the hopelessness. But yes, you listen very carefully. It was probably just before this part. I'll loan you the book after, and you can see where hopelessness comes up. This I understood was the process. So what I started doing was reading the Krishna book again. And then I noticed, by Krishna's grace, that I had some of the commentaries of the acharyas that Gopi Puranadana Prabhu had translated from Sanskrit to English that the BBT used to publish when Hridayananda Maharaj and the other devotees, they wrote these, the translations and commentaries on behalf of the Srila Prabhupada and the BBT. So I began to look at the Krishna book and look at the commentaries, and I saw how wonderful the Krishna book is. Prabhupada takes the verses and then he puts in, because it's a summary study of the 10th canto. So he summarizes everything and he puts so deeply the philosophy in. And this, again, was one of the first books in 1970. While I was in Japan, actually, Prabhupada sent Brahmananda to Tokyo to publish this. So Prabhupada put in the Krishna book just all the philosophy required, but it is a summary study. So what I saw when I started looking at the commentaries and comparing them, I saw that the commentaries had details. And they were very attractive details, and Prabhupada had used those details in here, and some he had left out. So the second half of my presentation, and this is one that I'm admittedly not qualified to give, so you'll probably have to be somewhat tolerant with me, but we'll go through some of the verses in the 15th chapter of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, and that chapter is entitled, does anyone know in the Krishna book what is the title? It's right after Brahma's prayers. Anyone remember? Only in, yes. Yes, it's the killing of Dhanukasura. So I thought when I was looking at this chapter first, oh, I've read this so many times, another demon killed, and then Balaram takes him and wheels around and throws him in the palm trees. Okay, it's nice. But actually, by reading it and studying it again and again and again, I noticed that this chapter and the pastimes of Krishna have much more life than I thought. So we'll have a second session in this. We'll hear the tape of Srila Prabhupada speaking. And then we'll start hearing some of these verses and hearing what Krishna does on the day of Gopastami, when he's given the charge of the cows for the first time. He's just turned six years old. And this is the first time that Krishna actually enters the Vrindavan forest. And this is the opportunity for all the trees, all the birds, all the bees, the deer, to give Krishna pleasure. So we'll begin that in a bit. But first, and after we hear Prabhupada's words here, we'll have a break, and then we'll begin that second half. So could you hand those out to everyone, please? Reality, when we touch it, either through chanting Krishna's names, or by hearing about him, or by serving him, serving through our spiritual master and serving Prabhupada and his mission, when we become absorbed very deeply in pleasing Krishna, the material world appears very pale, substanceless, like a dream. Let's hear what Prabhupada says. Does anyone not have the sheet yet?
To think.
My Bhagavad?
Either of this material energy or of the spiritual energy. Now, how to satisfy the thinking of the material energy, how it can be transferred into thinking of the spiritual energy. So, for thinking in the spiritual energy, the Vedic literatures are there. Just like thinking in the material energy, there are so many literatures, newspapers, magazines, novels, fiction, and so many things, full of literature. So our thinking are absorbed in these literatures. Similarly, if we want to transfer our thinking in the spiritual atmosphere, then we have to transfer our reading capacity to the Vedic literature. Learned sages, therefore, made so many Vedic literatures, the Puranas, The Puranas are not stories. They are historical records. The Chaitanya Chaitamrita, there is a verse which reads as follows. Anadi Bohimmukh Jeev Krishna Bhuli Gela Atayev Krishna Ved Purana Kurila. That this forgetful living entities, conditioned souls, they have forgotten the relationship with the Supreme Lord, and they are engrossed in thinking of the material activities. And just to transfer their thinking power to the spiritual capacity, the Krishna Vipayana Vyasa, he has made so many Vedic literatures. Vedic literatures means, first he divided the Vedas into four, then he explained them by the Puranas, then for the incapable persons, just like Sri Shudra Vaisha, he made the Mahabharata, and in the Mahabharata he introduced this Bhagavad Gita, then again he summarized the whole Vedic literature in the Vedanta Sutra, and the Vedanta Sutra, for future guidance, he made a natural commentation by himself, which is called Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam. Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam is called Bhāsvayam Brahma Sutranam. It is the natural commentation of Vedanta Sutra. So all this literature, if we transfer our thought, tad-bhāva-bhāvitam, sadā, sadā tad-bhāva-bhāvitam, one who is engaged always, just like the materialist is always engaged in reading some material literature, like newspaper, magazines, and fiction, novel, etc., and so many scientific or philosophy, all these things have different degrees of thought. Similarly, if we transfer or that reading capacity for this Vedic literature as presented by, as very kindly presented by Vyasadeva, then it is quite possible for us to remember at the time of death the Supreme Lord. That is the only way suggested by the Lord himself, not suggesting the fact. Nāsti atra samsaya. Undoubtedly, there is no doubt about it. Tasmāt, the Lord suggested, therefore, tasmāt sarvesu kālesu māman smara yuddhasta. He advises Arjuna that māma anusmara yuddhasta. He does not say that you simply go on remembering me and give up your present occupational duty. No. That is not suggested. The Lord never suggests something impractical. This material world, to maintain this body, one has to work. The work is divided into four divisions of social order. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, the intelligent class of the society, they are working in a different way. And the administrator class of society, they are also working in a different way. The mercantile society, the productive society, they are also working in a different way. And the laborer class, they are also working in a different way. the human society, either as laborer or as mercantile men, or as politicians, administrators, or as the highest class of intelligent class of men in literary career, scientific researches, everyone is engaged in some work, and one has to work, struggle for existence. The Lord advises that you need not give up your occupation, but at the same time, you can remember Mahamanusmara. That will make you, that will help you in remembering me at the time of death. If you don't practice remembering me always, along with your struggle for existence, then it is not possible. The same thing is advised by Lord Chaitanya. Kirtaniya sada. Kirtaniya sada. Once you practice to chant the name of the Lord, always the name of Lord and the Lord is not different. So here the instruction of Lord Krishna to Arjuna, that Mam Anusmara, you just remember me. And Lord Chaitanya's instruction that you chant always the name of Krishna. Here Krishna says that you always remember me, or you remember Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya says you always chant the name of Krishna. So there is no difference. Because Krishna and Krishna's name are non-different. In the absolute status, there is no difference between one thing and another. That is the absolute status. So the Lord being absolute, there is no difference between His name and Himself. So we have to practice like that. Tasma sarvi sukhani. Always, 24 hours, we have to mold our activities of life in such a way that we can remember it. 24 hours. How it is possible? Yes, it is possible. It is possible. A very crude example is set by the acharyas in this connection. And what is that example? It is said that a woman who is attached to another man, although she has got a husband, still he is attached to another man, and this attachment becomes very strong. This is called parokyara. Either in case of man or woman, if a man has got attachment for another woman besides his wife, or a woman has got attachment for another man besides his husband, that attachment is very strong. That attachment is very strong. So the acharyas give this example as a bad character woman who has got attachment for other husband. She always thinks, at the same time, so is her husband, that she is very much busy in the family affair, so that her husband may not doubt her character. So, as she is always remembering the time of meeting with her lover at night, in spite of doing all this household work very nicely, similarly, one has to remember the Supreme Husband, the Krishna. always, in spite of doing these material duties very nicely, that is possible. It requires a strong sense of love. When you have got a strong sense of love for the Supreme Law, then it is possible that we can go on discharging our duty at the same time given by the Lord. So, we have to develop that sense, just like Arjuna was always thinking of Lord. He, out of 24 hours, not for a second, he could forget Krishna. Constant companion of Krishna. At the same time, a warrior. Lord Krishna did not advise Arjuna to give up his fighting, go to the forest, go to the Himalaya and meditate. When Yuga's sister was advised to Arjuna, Arjuna declared that this sister is not possible for me. When the Lord said, Yoginavati sarvesam madgata antarasana madgatin antarasana siddhavan bhagati jumam samijukta samohata. So, one who thinks of the Supreme Lord always is the greatest yogi. He is the supermost jnani, and he is also the greatest devotee at the same time. The Lord advises, yastasmāt sarveshu kāleshu māṁ anusmara yudhya. As a kshatriya, you cannot give up your fighting business. You have to fight. So, at the same time, if you practice remembering me always, then it will be possible. Antakale samame vasmaram, then it is possible to remember me also at the time of death. Mayatito manobuddhi mameva isyasi asangsaya. Again, he says that there is no doubt. If one is completely surrendered into the service of the Lord, into the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Mayadhito manobuddhi. Because we work not with our body actually. We work with our mind and intelligence. So if our intelligence and mind are always engaged with the thought of the Supreme Lord, then naturally our senses are also engaged in the service of the Lord. That is the secret of Bhagavad Gita. One has to learn this art, how one can be absorbed both by the mind and intelligence, 24 hours thinking of the Lord. And that will help one to transfer himself into the kingdom of God or in the spiritual atmosphere after leaving this material body. The modern scientists, they are trying for years and years together, reaching the moon planet. And they have no approach as yet. But here in the Bhagavad Gita, here is a suggestion. Suppose a man lives for another 50 years, and nobody tries to elevate himself in the spiritual ideas for 50 years. That's a very good idea. But even for 10 years or 5 years, one sincerely tries for this practice Mayyadhito Manobuddhi. It is simply a question of practice. And that practice can be very easily possible by the devotional process, sevana. Sevana. The easiest process is to hear. Sevanam kirtanam vishnus maranam parisivanam archanam vandanam dasanam sakkamasam leelam. These nine processes. So, the easiest process is simply hearing. Hearing of this Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam from the realized person. That is train up oneself, into the thoughts of the Supreme Being. 24 hours, which will lead one ultimately, antatale, to remember the Supreme Lord. And thus, leaving this body, we will have a spiritual body. Spiritual body. Just fit for association with the Lord. The Lord, therefore, says, Kambhyasu Jyogajuktina Jigutha Nannugamina Paramam Purisam Diddham Yasi Patha Anuchintayan. Anuchintayan. Constantly thinking of himself. Only. It is not a very difficult process. One has to learn this process from the experienced persons in this life. One should approach a person who is already in the practice. So, abhyasa yoga jukte. This is called abhyasa yoga. Practice. Abhyasa yoga. How to remember the Supreme Lord always. Itasananandamina. The mind is always flying to this, to that. So one has to practice, to concentrate the mind into the form of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, always, or in the sound, in his name, which is very easier. Instead of concentrating on my mind may be very restless, going hither and thither. But I can concentrate my ear into the sound vibration of Krishna. And that will also help me. That is also bhyasa yoga. Cetasa nanma gamina paramam purusam vidvam. Paramam purus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual kingdom, in the spiritual sky. One can approach anujintayana, constantly thinking. So, these processes, the ways and means, all are stated in the Bhagavad Gita. And there is no bar for anyone. It is not that that a particular class of men can approach. Thinking of Lord Krishna is possible. Hearing of Lord Krishna is possible by everyone.
Chintamani prakara sadma sukal. What struck you the most in that? Thank you. What struck you about that? Thank you. Anyone else get struck by anything? Yes. To remember Krishna, one's attachment to Krishna has to be strong, very strong. Yes, a strong sense of love is required here. If one has 50 years, that was a long time ago. Yeah, brief. It seems to pass very quickly, I've noticed. Thank you. Anything else? It is what is possible for everyone?
Attain this perfection by hearing and thinking.
by hearing and thinking about Krishna. It's possible for everyone. One thing that struck me was the sense of urgency in Prabhupada's voice. Anyone else?
When was his lecture?
66.
Oh, they're all like that.
Prabhupada recorded this and it became the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. He was reading it, it seems. And then, of course, it was edited. I have it as 66, I think. And I think it was before 26 Second Avenue, even. I think. I can check.
It sounds like there's sort of urgency.
Yes. Yes. I think it was the preface in Sydney. Anyone else? Questions? Comments? Yes. Lord Chaitanya always advised to always chant the holy names, and Krishna's advice to always remember him are the same. And one could see that Prabhupada's genius in establishing his International Society for Krishna Consciousness was to give unlimited duties to unlimited number of souls that they could act in relationship with Krishna as a service, as a servant. So as a service means that one becomes a servant, which is the root of the problem is the master tendency. So as a servant, everything done as a servant. Was that just a stretch? Experienced person. Yes, it's an easy process in the sense that everyone can do it. But what is it that makes the process so difficult? Well, seems so difficult, such an easy process.
Our conditioning?
Yeah, what is that conditioning? We cling so, at least I could say for myself, so tightly to the, and I don't hear sufficiently to and chant attentively. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. And then right now, according to my watch, it's 19 after 11. So we'll make it 10, so at exactly at 11:30, that means 11 minutes. We'll make it an X, add 5 onto that. So 25 to 12, we'll meet again and we'll start hearing directly about Krishna. The 15th chapter. We'll start a little earlier and then we'll move up to the 15th chapter of the 10th canto. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Si Giriraj Govindan ki jai. Hearing about Krishna ki jai.